You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Because of his Christian faith, his wife Nagme has been traveling the world asking for help in obtaining her husband's release. She found an unusually warm reception from the leaders of Germany. USA Headline News spoke exclusively with Tiffany Behrens of the American Center for Law and Justice, who travels with Nagme, and says the legacy of the Holocaust makes Germans very sensitive to religious freedom issues.
There's so many, even in current generations, who say that centuries of trying to unright that wrong are necessary. And even then, you can't. They're very sensitive to anybody who's persecuted on religious grounds in particular.
The German leadership has called for Iran to immediately release Saeed. I'm Jason Wirt.
This is USA Headline News.
A recent study proved that companies whose sales staff used promotional products did 22% more business than companies that didn't. Show it, wave it, share it, even give it away. But whatever you do, put your logo on it. Small businesses, large corporations, even mom and pops increase their brand with promo products from USAPromoStuff.com. Pens, bags, office items, stadium cups, USA Promo Stuff has it. So go get it. Visit USAPromoStuff.com. USAPromoStuff.com. That's USAPromoStuff.com.
Uber is celebrating its fifth anniversary this week. David Plouffe, Uber's vice president of policy and strategy, says the ride-sharing company still sees room for growth and improvements.
There's a lot of people, even in the cities we're currently in, who don't know about Uber. So we need to introduce the service to more people. And also people who want to drive on Uber, we need to reach more people so they know that that's an option for them.
Uber helps facilitate more than a million trips around the world every day. Plouffe says the company generates 50,000 jobs per month globally. It has also been shown to reduce crashes caused by drunk driving in California and Seattle. Meanwhile, Plouffe says Uber's new carpooling service is showing promise in four major cities and that the company has more ideas on the way.
We're also beginning to experiment with delivery of food on demand. So instead of a car in 5 minutes, you get a sandwich or a salad, goods and services. So there's a lot we can do.
A cybersecurity expert who used to run Microsoft's anti-piracy program is offering tips for summer travel safety. Morgan Wright says people need to plan security on mobile devices like they plan packing.
When people go on vacation, they tend to remember they have a checklist to pack their, swimsuits, their suntan lotion, the things like that, take their passports, but they tend not to take basic precautions like put a password on every device.
Wright also says criminals are now doing things like creating rogue access points for mobile devices that can divert you from legitimate hotel chain websites to fake ones. He also says to be careful about using credit cards, online banking, and ATM machines when you're abroad. Morgan Wright says cyber criminals are getting more sophisticated, and that can affect travelers who use mobile devices. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the 6 ways to make your next business trip more productive, the 10 jobs that are hiring like crazy, why you should focus on relationships and not transactions, how successful people handle stress, and I'll have an innovative way to empower employees. It's Thursday, June 4th, 2015, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
good afternoon, everybody. It's, as I said, Thursday, June 4th, 2015. My name is Jim Gannot. The program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do, let's check the weather. It's currently 62 degrees at 12:06. Today, it'll be cloudy with a 40% chance of rain and a high of 65 degrees with a low of 53. Tomorrow, have some clouds and sun and warmer with a high of 74, a low of 57. For Saturday, to be partly sunny with a chance of a thunderstorm in the evening and a high of 80, a low of 51. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 77 and a low of 53. And a current check of the financial markets shows all indices are in the down direction right now. The Dow is down 128.59 to 17,947.68. NASDAQ down 23.79 to 5,075.44. S&P 500 down 14.04 to 2,100.03. Oil down $1.53 to $58.11 per barrel. And gold down $11.10 to $1,173.80 per ounce.
Woman, I am the cavalry.
Yes, I am. And we're back for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And as we do every time this week, we get caught up on what's been going on over the last week. For me, last Friday night, it was a fun night. My son was able to go to the Bridgewater Raritan senior prom, had his date, and then we went over to a friend's house for some pictures, and then we invited the kids back to our house after the prom for a light breakfast, some snacks and things like that. And then I thought they'd stay till 1, and they ended up staying till like 3 in the morning. And man, was I tired come Saturday morning. But overall, everybody had a great time, so that was good. Great to see all the kids grown up, dressed up. It's, you know, it's, I don't know whether I'm getting old and nostalgic or what, but between seeing two of my friends' kids get married over the last month and then seeing my own son going to a prom, it's just, it's a little heartwarming to see how this younger generation is growing up and how they're all getting older, and I'm staying put at around 35. Congratulations to the Bridgewater Raritan lacrosse team, and head coach Chuck Appel just keeps doing it. The boys won again last night 9-6 against Pingree, and they'll play Saturday night at Kane University. And I have to go to a graduation party, and I can only tell you one thing. I would much rather be at Kane University watching a lacrosse game, especially because my team, being that I work at Bridgewater Raritan as one of the announcers, I would love to be able to see that game and watch these kids take it all the way in the Tournament of Champions. But I will do my duty. I will go to the graduation party, and hopefully Russ will be sending me text messages throughout the evening with updates. Whole lot of going on over at Crown Trophy of Flemington right now. This is what we call busy season, and man, are we busy. We're up about 22% over last year at this time, and we usually figure that busy season will end the third week of June, and all indications are that that's going to hold true for this week. But for some reason, and I just can't put my finger on it, because I have been sending out newsletters and emails like crazy, reminding people, hey, order early, you know, get your orders in kind of thing. They're all waiting till the last minute. One group asked for 7 awards that had to be engraved on crystal this morning at 10 that they wanted to pick up at noon today. So it's just an insane time right now, and my head's ready to explode with how busy we are. And then usually we use that downtime to kind of decompress, you know, clean the place up, check inventory, things like that, fix any machines that may need some maintenance. We're going to jump right into a major demolition project in the store. The sewer line has to be replaced, and they have to come in and diamond cut right through the center of the store, about a 2-foot-wide trench, 8 feet deep, lay in a new PVC pipe. So just as soon as we finish the busy season, now we've got to tear the place apart, move everybody out into the warehouse for a couple of weeks, get this thing fixed, and then put it all back together again. So it's just a crazy time for us. And then yesterday was a great day. We've been having negotiations with this company for about the last 6 weeks. This is an online alcohol retailer, and this is high-end, top-shelf type alcohols.
So it's the Dom Perignon champagnes, various whiskeys and wines and things like that. These are bottles of wine that you're going to spend $40, $50 on and maybe more. And what they want us to do is they're going to bring us the product, and then we're going to etch a special message on it. So the first order came in, and as I looked at it, the first one was, you know, happy or welcome to your 30s kind of thing. Love mom and dad. Another one was congratulations to a couple as they get married. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sandblast that message. Then we're going to paint, color fill it, and then get it back to them, to the online company, within about 24 to 48 hours so they can ship it out. And looking forward to it. This looks like a very profitable venture for us. The first order is for 500 bottles by Father's Day, so a lot of work to do. But looking forward to, again, coming up with another revenue stream that we didn't have before. We've always had the sandblasting capability, but now by doing this personalization, hopefully it'll open up new avenues for us to do more. And it, in effect, creating that fifth or sixth revenue stream now where somebody else is going out, they're selling the product, we're just completing the order. So I think that's a nice way to help us in our quest for growth. And then you know, what is also nice is, you know, now I'm a tough negotiator. You sit across the table from me, you're going to sweat a little bit. But I told the gentleman when we were talking, and I said, so what's the chance that you work on a barter system? And I said, we've come to agreement on price. I said, but is there ever a time when it's an order for one bottle, but suddenly there's two in the box and I only have to engrave one? He goes, we can definitely make an arrangement like that. So looking forward to that aspect of the deal as well. So it's all good stuff. We're going to step away, take a break. I wanted to get the breaks out of the way early today. When we come back, we're going to talk about six ways to make your next business trip more productive. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, huntingtonchamber.org, for more information today. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntingtonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Glad you could join us on another beautiful Thursday here in Flemington. Glad you could bring us with you on your smartphone, on your iPad, portable devices, and or whether you're tethered to your computer at work. Glad you could join us for another edition of Taking Care of Business. Well, before the break, I introduced the next story, which is six ways to make your next business trip more productive. And one of the things that a lot of people complain about is the time they have to prepare for an upcoming trip, and then the time that they're actually there, being stuck in a hotel room, and then the time to come back. And I know when you do overseas travel, a lot of times it's even worse because you may lose as much as a day in travel time, and then obviously the bosses don't care. They still want you to get your work done when you get back. But you know the feeling that you get when you're told you're going on a business trip? You get a little excited, and you daydream about how productive you'll be during all that uninterrupted time, naively believing that you're going to do double the work in half the time. Well, unfortunately for most people, all that free time is merely a pipe dream. In reality, travel is exhausting. A 2012 survey by the Global Business Travel Association revealed that companies have higher productivity expectations from business travelers than ever before. But disrupted sleep, a lack of exercise, poor food choices, and unpredictable internet connections make staying productive no small feat. So here are six tips for overcoming those challenges and making the most of your business trips. Number one is to tick off to-do items before you leave. So knock out big things such as flights and hotel reservations as soon as you know you're going on a trip. And this will help you get the best deals and save some much-needed money in those early stages of business. Acting early opens up options for flights with fewer layovers, convenient hotels, and great amenities, and reservations at restaurants that you want to try. Planning ahead also shows vendors, customers, and investors that you're responsible and organized. When you're working on a deal, people don't just pay attention to your product or service. They watch how you operate as a business person. Number two, lighten your load. Flying drains your energy, so try to simplify the journey by packing the right way. To start, don't check bags unless you have to. Plan your outfits for each day of your trip so you don't pack excessively. Reduce your cargo by mailing items such as product samples in advance. They add weight to drag around and often get broken or squished in a suitcase. However, make sure you call the hotel in advance to double check that it will hold your package. Number three, don't squander your flight time. One thing you can usually plan for is time on the plane when you're stuck in your seat. Even if you don't have an internet connection, write emails so they're ready to send or work on something that is saved to your desktop. Planes are also great for practicing networking skills such as initiating conversations, asking questions, and listening. If you're stuck in the airport, use Gate Guru to find restaurants and ATMs by your gate. This way you don't have to track down airport maps. If your flight has problems, Waze, W-A-Z-E, will calculate the best routes to provide better options. And number four, treat yourself. Instead of trying to grind through your work around the clock, spend some time recuperating. You don't want new contacts to remember you for being grouchy. And what's the point of traveling if you never leave your hotel room? So go sightseeing or eat at a local cafe. Personal growth makes you a better leader, and experience different cultures expands your mind. So take the opportunity to look at the world from a different angle. Number five, organize as you go. Business travel can produce an onslaught of new ideas and contacts that are impossible to absorb all at once. Organizing this information as you go will ensure you don't forget it when you get home. A great app for on-the-go organization is called Evernote. It will quickly organize new info, sync that info with other devices, and share it with your team. And number six, you want to prioritize any new connections you might make. Now, most business trips provide ample opportunities for networking, so include that in your list of priorities. Before and after meetings, connect with speakers, vendors, investors, and trade show contacts via LinkedIn or other networking platforms. Reaching out like this helps turn new connections into new deals. Make a habit of taking pictures with any new connections you want to do business with. And when you follow up after the trip, include the picture to help them remember who you are. Business trips are wonderful opportunities to learn and expand your business, but they can't fuel your fire if you spend the whole trip stressing about basic needs and spotty internet connections. So plan ahead and focus your goals. This way, you're going to return home energized and excited about some new possibilities. It's currently 12:21. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Well, around this time of year, I get a lot of emails from parents saying, my son or my daughter is graduating college and doesn't have a job. What can we do? Where are the jobs? What's hiring? And then I also get emails from people that are saying, hey, I just got laid off, or I'm thinking of leaving the company. Where can I go? So there are 10 jobs that are hiring like crazy right now, and the list is pretty diverse, and it may speak to the fact that businesses are being extraordinarily picky about who they are hiring. It also may be due to the fact that many people are heading down different career paths than what they pursued in the past. For example, one of the most sought-after groups of workers is in the skilled trades industry. Now, we know that ranks of skilled workers have been steadily declining, but the roles have seemingly reversed now, as there is a need for these workers and not enough of them to go around. Other jobs on the list, such as engineers, technicians, and IT staff, are seeing growth in their respective talent pools as well. What the list does give us is some insight as to what employers need and how individuals may be able to specialize in certain areas in order to supply the skills and expertise businesses require in a turbulent economy. High school students, for example, may need help deciding on a career path. The fact that employers need accountants and machine operators may help guide them in a direction that will ensure both job security and solid earnings in the future. Though the needs of employers differ from economy to economy on a global scale, there are many similarities between international and domestic employers. Talent shortages are real and are not going away, said Kip Wright of Manpower North America. Despite impacts to competitiveness and productivity, their research shows fewer employers are trying to solve the problem through better talent strategies. As the struggle to find the right talent continues and candidates with in-demand skills get the upper hand, employers will be under pressure to position themselves as talent destinations to attract the best workers that will drive their business forward. For those out of work, global trends indicate that the following jobs may provide the perfect opportunity to get back into the labor pool. So globally now, here are the top 10 jobs employers are having the hardest time filling. They are production and machine operators, IT personnel, office support slash administrative staff, accountants slash finance staff, managers and executives, drivers, technicians, engineers, sales representatives, and skilled trades. So when you look at that list, it's pretty diverse. Everything from, I think that right now the one industry that's hurting the most and will be in the next 5 years are truck drivers. So conversations I've had with people, and a truck driver can make some pretty decent money, $70,000 to $80,000 a year. You know, so a lot of times if you're so skilled at what you do, and there's only four or five of those jobs in the world, a lot of times you get pigeonholed and then there's nowhere for you to go. Even if you're laid off for 6 months or a year, why not learn how to be a truck driver and then take on that role until you find the job of your dreams? So there's a lot of different ways that you can go where you don't necessarily have to stay in the same industry at the same level at the same job, you know, year after year. It's okay to diversify your experience, and then sometimes that will make you more hireable and desirable down the road. So there you go. The 10 jobs that are hiring like crazy right now. Well, I found an interesting story last night as I was preparing for the show, and I said, this is it. This is finally what I've been trying to tell both my staff and other companies as well. When you're in the sales industry, the way that you should be treating the customer. Now, when someone new joins my staff, I give them the same speech, and my other staff members are probably a little tired of hearing it, but I always tell them, when somebody walks through that door, in my mind, I pretty much know if they're a returning customer, how much they spent last year. I'm not looking at them with dollar signs in my eyes. I'm looking at them as the individual that's making that purchase, and I get to know them a little bit. I want to know, you know, a little bit about them personally, their wives, their children, you know, what they do for fun, things like that. So, you know, when when a customer, let's say, has a shore house and likes to go out on the boat, you know, if I know it's been a beautiful weekend and he comes into the store on Monday, I say, so how was it out on the boat this weekend? We just get to know each other a little more personal, and then they don't feel like they're being treated just like I'm there to take your money. So focusing on the relationship and not the transaction is the focus of this next story. And this is one of my many business mottos, and sometimes things that in my 30 years experience I've come across far too often, is that people tend to focus on the end result, the transaction, and do not place enough importance on the steps that you take to getting there, the journey. There are so many people who claim they found the secret formula to securing a deal, when in reality it's as simple as making people like you. People buy people. They don't buy products, and nobody wants to buy something from someone that they don't like, and that is a fact. To get to the final leg of your journey, you need to humanize yourself and show the client that you're more than just a smile and a suit. Show that you understand their needs and you truly believe you can offer something beneficial. Sales is my forte, and I've made my success by understanding that people make businesses and not transactions. Businesses shouldn't just involve walking up to a counter, placing an order, getting what you want, and walking away. It should definitely be a two-way process, and to do this, you need to create value before you expect it in return. Now, nobody likes cold calling or following up dead leads. What we love is developing good, professional, working relationships which have the potential to flourish. The biggest mistake people make in business is underestimating opportunities. Now, when I was starting my business, I would take the time to meet with every one of my clients, take a proper brief and work order, and get all the information I needed firsthand. Not only was this so much more effective than a phone conversation, it also gave me the chance to get to know my client and find some common ground. And that could be something as simple as, what's your favorite football team? It's true what they say, out of sight, then out of mind, especially in business. The more you see your client, the more they see you, and the more they engage and begin to feel comfortable handing over more and more business, the better it will be. Relationship building takes time, effort, and dedication. It's not a simple, hello, I'm James, let's do business type of job. To help make the most of your business relationships, I would suggest taking these two concepts into consideration. First, you want to change perceptions. Now, people will always associate with you with what you market, not what you do. The only way to avoid this is to ensure that you make your clients aware of your full service and guide them away from making the wrong assumptions. Now, here's a quick tip. Try asking them what else they need. This way, you can tailor your pitch to their response and let them know how you can help. And number two, we call this judgment day. You will always be judged on your last transaction because that's the last thing your client's going to remember about you. It's also your last chance to make a good impression. To ensure you are always bettering yourself, I'd suggest using the pre-close. Find out their key reservations and any reasons that they wouldn't come back to you again. Constructive criticism should always be welcome because it enables you to amend, grow, and develop your strategy in order to perfect relationships in the future. If they're not telling you, they'll be telling others around them, and in this game, anything you don't know could be a potential hurdle later on. Relationships are also built on trust, commitment, and loyalty. Three things that you need in order to retain a client base. Most of the deals that I made when I was starting out came from returning customers or people who had heard good things from those clients. Word of mouth recommendations spread like wildfire, so please take advantage of them and also encourage them. Don't be shy about asking for referrals. And next time you're on the road to securing a deal, think about all of the above, and I guarantee you're going to get a better result in the long run. Currently 12:29, you're listening to Taking Care of Business. We're going to step away for a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the one thing you must never do during a job interview. We'll be right back.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Before we get going with the rest of the show, a check of the weather shows that it's currently 62 degrees here in Flemington. It'll be cloudy with a chance of rain this afternoon around 40%, 65 degrees for the high and a low of 53. For tomorrow, we'll have some clouds and sun and warmer temperatures with a high of 74 degrees and a low of 57. For Saturday, it'll be partly sunny with a chance of a thunderstorm in the evening and a high of 80 degrees with a low of 51. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 77 degrees and a low of 53. Well, before the break, we were talking, the preview was that we were going to talk about the one thing you must never do in an interview. And more hiring mistakes are made in the first 30 minutes of a job interview than at any other time. And this is devastating if you're a candidate who should have been hired. It's equally devastating if you're the hiring manager and you hire the wrong person. So I contend that these errors are the primary reason that 70% of the U.S. workforce is what we call disengaged. The solution is simple. You don't use the interview to make the hiring decision. Use the interview to collect the evidence needed to make the hiring decision. Now, of course, if you don't know what evidence to look for, this simple solution is a bit more challenging. To address this, I would suggest preparing a performance-based job description before the interview. Now, a performance-based job description lists the top 6 to 8 things a person in the job needs to accomplish in order to be considered successful. For example, for a sales position, one objective could be open 3 to 4 new accounts per month by identifying and personally meeting with the key decision makers at each account. Now, this is a lot better than saying the person must have 5-plus years of sales experience selling to the same types of customers in the same industry. Determining the candidate's ability and motivation to do the actual work required is the purpose of the interview. However, if the interviewer doesn't know what's actually required, then the person is left to his or her own devices to determine this. Given this loosey-goosey condition, most interviewers determine if the candidate is hireable in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the interview based simply on affability, appearance, and communication skills. Now, once this preliminary yes-no hiring decision is made, the balance of the interview is used to gather confirming evidence to validate the decision. It's easy to see how the lack of job knowledge combined with unscientific and biased interviewing techniques can result in bad hiring decisions. Given this state of affairs, here's a simple technique to convert the interview into an evidence-gathering process instead. Number one, get every interviewer on the same page by sharing the performance-based job description ahead of time. Now, here's a completed profile for, say, a product manager, and you can see how using this can instantly change the focus of the entire interviewing process. And again, going into those 6 to 8 bullet points of what this person needs to accomplish and having everybody on the interview team ask the same questions. When they come back and circle back for the debrief, they're going to know whether or not there's any holes in this person's experience. Don't give anyone a full yes-no hiring decision. Instead, assign each interviewer a narrower responsibility to evaluate the candidate's ability to achieve just 1 or 2 of the performance objectives that are listed. Have each interviewer ask the one question, performance-based interview question, for each of the performance objectives assigned. This question provides all the evidence needed to determine competency and motivation. Eliminate what we call gladiator voting, which is up versus down, to make the final hiring decision. Instead, have each interviewer, or the person doing the interview, share his or her evidence using the type of quality of hire talent scorecard ranking system. Redo the interview if any rankings vary too much, and this indicates a process that's out of control. So again, during a lot of the debriefs that would happen, if you have 5 or 6 people on the interview team, they say, well, what do you think of Sally? And you might get like 4 thumbs up, 2 thumbs down. Now what you have to do is you almost have to sell the team on why they should or should not be hired. Of course, first impressions and related biases will still get in the way. So to short-circuit this, I suggest interviewers recognize their initial positive or negative reaction to the candidate and then make some type of offsetting action. One way to do this is to be more cynical with those whom you like and more open-minded with those you don't. If you're the candidate being improperly assessed, it's unlikely the interviewer has read this posting and heard this story and followed the techniques described. In this case, you'll need to take matters into your own hands. Now here's how to shift the odds back into your favor. If you feel the interviewer is purposely seeking negative information, you're going to need to intervene right away. One way to do this is to ask the interviewer how the trait, factor, or skill being asked about is actually used on the job. Then give an example of something you've accomplished that relates to that requirement. To prevent the interviewer's personal biases from kicking in too soon, ask the person to describe some of the big challenges involved with the open job at the beginning of the interview. You can force questions to be asked around your strengths by simply asking "is" and then list what your major strength is, an important aspect of this job, and then give an example of something you've accomplished that best demonstrates that ability. Send the interviewer this introduction to the performance-based interview before your interview. Of course, practice and record your answers, and if they're really good, you might even want to send the interviewer your recording as well. This actually might get you the interview as well. The bottom line simply is, don't use the interview to make the hiring decision. Use the interview to collect the evidence needed to make the hiring decision. The simple change in perspective changes everything, and more important, it will eliminate 50% of all hiring mistakes you're ever likely to make. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. It's currently 12:37. Well, one of the things that I hear all the time from every business owner in the shopping center I work in and the others that I talk to on a regular basis is overworked, stressed, you know, all kinds of craziness. So what, how do successful people handle stress? And you'll see them all the time on CNBC and CNN. We've worked with all kinds of people over the years. So, and you can probably say, wow, I really admire Ron because he's just so laid back and nothing seems to affect him. We call him Teflon Ron because nothing bothers him. Then there's the other person that's the Chicken Little syndrome running around saying the sky is falling. And, you know, there's other people that might take a phone system, let's say, and throw it against the wall. I mean, you have all kinds of people that you work with. So how do successful people handle stress? Now, there are two kinds of people in this world, those who believe they can make things happen and those who believe that things happen to them. The first group are convinced that the outcome of their lives and careers is more or less in their own hands, and they wouldn't have it any other way. The second group take more of a Forrest Gump approach. They sit around and wait for the bus to take them somewhere. Now, University of Florida psychologist Tim Judge and his colleagues have shown overwhelmingly that people who feel that they control the events in their lives more than the events control them and are confident in their abilities end up doing better on nearly every important measure of work performance. In Judge's studies, these individuals, we'll call them the empowered, were found to do the following. They sell more than other employees do. They give better customer service. They adjust better to new assignments. They take home an average of 50 to 150% more in annual income, both in good times and in bad. Now, of course, when good times are rolling, nearly all of us believe we have the world by the tail. What makes the empowered in Tim Judge's study special, whether they work the shop floor or in the C-suite, is that they don't get overwhelmed when the going gets tough. Now, just like you, the empowered feel intense anxiety when hard times strike, but they use this anxiety differently. Since the empowered believe that they have control over their outcomes in their lives, their anxiety fuels passion instead of pity, drive in lieu of despair, and tenacity over trepidation. Now, whether the empowered find themselves providing over a division with tanking revenues or the receiving end of a scathing performance review or staring at yet another job-hunting rejection in the face, they refuse to wave the white flag. They redouble their efforts. So anxiety, here's how it works. Anxiety is an absolutely necessary emotion. If you don't think you experience it, you simply don't understand it. Our brains are hardwired such that it's difficult to take action until we feel some level of anxiety. In fact, performance peaks under the heightened activation that comes with moderate levels of anxiety. The trick is to manage your anxiety and keep it within optimal levels in order to achieve top performance. If you don't have the tools in place to keep your anxiety in check when it comes on strong, like throwing phones across the room, you'll never realize your full potential. You can get better at managing the anxiety you inevitably feel when facing difficult and uncertain situations. You just need to follow the steps that successful and empowered people take to keep their anxiety from taking over. The key thing to understand before getting started is that you're indeed facing uncertainty. The outcome of your future has not been decided, so it's up to you to develop the beliefs and mental toughness that will make you one of the empowered. Here's how you do it. I knew you were going to ask me that question. Step one, first you have to expect and prepare for change. Now, people change and businesses go through ebbs and flows. It's a fact that even the empowered in Judge's study can't control. They've found themselves out of work. Their companies have fallen on tough times. The difference is that they believe that they are fully capable of dealing with changes and making something positive happen. In other words, they are mentally prepared for change, and you can be too. Now, if you don't anticipate change naturally, you need to set aside some time regularly, either every week or every other week, to create a list of important changes that you think could possibly happen. The purpose of this task is not to predict every change you'll face. Rather, it will open your mind to changes and sharpen your ability to spot and respond to impending change. Even if the events on your list never happen, the practice of anticipating and preparing for change will give you a greater sense of command over your future. Step 2, focus on your freedoms and not your limitations. Now, we've all heard the old mantra, life isn't fair, beaten into our brains since we were young. This mantra is a voice of despair, anxiety, and passive inaction. And while it's true that we sometimes have limited ability to stop negative events from occurring, we are always free to choose our response. On your list of possible changes from step 1, jot down all of the positive ways in which you can take action and respond to each change. And you're going to surprise yourself with how much control you actually can wield in response to seemingly uncontrollable situations. Step 3, rewrite your script. Now, this step is going to be the hardest because it requires you to change the mode of thinking that you've grown accustomed to. Over time, we all develop mental scripts that run through our heads and influence how we feel about our circumstances and what we do in response to them. These scripts go as far as to tell us what to say and how to act in different situations. In order to be empowered, you'll need to rewrite your script. And to do this, you have to recall a tough time you went through recently. What was it that you believed about your circumstances that prevented you from making the most of your situation or responding more effectively? Then write it down and label it your hard luck script. Since hindsight is 20/20, go ahead and write a more effective and empowered mental script that you wish you had followed next to it. This is the empowered script you will use to replace your hard luck script. File these away so you can pull them out and study them whenever you are facing stress or strong anxiety. When you do pull your scripts out, compare your present thinking to your hard luck and empowered scripts. This will keep you honest and enable you to adjust your thinking so that you're operating from an empowered script. These periodic reminders will eventually rewrite your scripts completely, enabling you to operate from an empowered script at all times. Step 4, love this one, stop negative talk. A big step in managing anxiety involves stopping negative self-talk in its tracks. The more you ruminate on negative thoughts, the more power you give them. Most of our negative thoughts are just that, thoughts. They're not facts. When you find yourself believing the negative and pessimistic things that your inner voice is saying, it's time to stop and write them down. Literally, stop what you're doing and write down what you're thinking. Once you've taken a moment to slow down the negative momentum of your thoughts, you will be more rational and clear-headed in evaluating your veracity. You can bet that your statements aren't true anytime you use words like never, worst, or ever. If your statements still look like facts once they're on paper, take them to a friend or colleague you trust and see if he or she agrees with you, and then the truth will surely come out. When it feels like something always or never happens, this is just your brain's natural threat tendency inflating the perceived frequency or severity of an event. Identifying and labeling your thoughts as thoughts, but by separating them from facts, will help you escape the cycle of negativity and anxiety and move toward a positive new outlook. Step 5, let's appreciate what we have. Taking time to contemplate what you're grateful for isn't merely the right thing to do. It also lessens anxiety because it reduces stress hormone cortisol levels by 23%. Research conducted at the University of California, Davis found that people who work daily to cultivate an attitude of gratitude experienced improved moods, energy, and sustainability, and substantially less anxiety due to lower cortisol levels. Now, if you want to bring it all together, overwhelming anxiety and empowerment are mutually exclusive. And anytime you're overcome with enough anxiety to limit your performance, just follow the 5 steps we talked about here and empower yourself to regain control. It's currently 12:44. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We're going to step away for a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one innovative way to empower employees. We'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Do you need a great sign to promote your business or organization? Signs by Crown of Flemington is your local professional sign shop and can provide you with high-quality banners, lawn signs, vehicle graphics, pop-up displays, window graphics, wall lettering, magnets, and much more. Signs by Crown can help you with the design, layout, creation, and installation of your signs. Signs by Crown is located inside Crown Trophy at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington. Remember, if you have something to say, say it with a sign from Signs by Crown.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. And a lot of talk over the past couple of months has been about empowering employees and trying to get them engaged so that they take more of an active role in the success of the business. And one of the most important tasks that any company faces when it comes to providing a good customer experience is to empower its customer-facing employees to make the right decisions and take the right actions whenever its own policies or processes don't adequately tell them what the best course of action is. And this is why corporate culture is so critical to your success. As a customer-centric company, culture can be defined in many ways, but basically it prescribes that employees do what employees do when no one is looking or when the rules simply aren't defined. And there are many customer service situations in which the rules aren't defined. You might have detailed policies for how to handle refunds, for example, or how service problems are to be resolved, but inevitably your frontline service people will encounter special cases or situations that you just can't plan for. You can't plan for every possible situation. That's just impossible. And this is why it's so important to ensure that your customer-facing workers are engaged in their jobs and that everyone shares the same basic idea about the direction of success. When trying to address some customer problems, there are many different possible actions, but if your employees all agree on the proper direction of success, then you can have more confidence that they'll be able to select the right action. Now, my own view is that the most reliably useful direction to provide customer-facing employees is to treat the customer fairly, the way you would want to be treated yourself if you were the customer. But of course, this direction will often conflict with policies and processes that have been designed not to treat the customers fairly, but to generate the most possible profit or incur the least possible cost. These are classic alignment problems that every company has to wrestle with whenever trying to become more customer-oriented. Now, one company in Australia has come up with a plan to empower their employees to work toward the solution for the customer. Basically, when a problem arises that might require an exception to prescribed policy in order to satisfy the customer, the worker trying to solve the problem should be encouraged to come up with a creative resolution that he or she thinks is appropriate, even if it's out of policy. But then, before they are authorized to apply that solution, the worker is required to seek the agreement of at least one other customer-facing employee who will also sign on to the action. The more engaged your workers are with your firm, the more coherent your culture is, and the stronger your employees' unified sense of the right, quote, direction of success is. The faster this kind of policy will work to improve your customer's experience from the bottom up. So great, a great story, because I really enjoyed reading that earlier. And one of the things that I take away from that is just what they said. You can't plan for every situation that's going to come up with a customer. So giving the employees and what they call those customer facing, the people who are dealing with the public every day, giving them the power to do what they feel is right for the company. And they're always going to try to keep, you know, costs at bay. They're always going to try to keep the company first. But they also have to be mindful of the fact that this customer, if they leave dissatisfied, could go crazy on every different website there is, on Facebook, social media, Yelp, and all that, and then just blast your company and make your life a living hell. Or they could step in, take a corrective action with or without your knowledge, and then you have to back it up. And I like that one example from the Australian company where come up with a solution, run it past another employee, and if they sign off and say, yeah, that'll work, then bring it back to the customer. And if they approve it and that's the solution, then great. And then that can become the new way to handle that particular problem. So a good story, a great article on how you can engage your employees and keep them empowered to do what's right for both you and the company. Well, three ways that brilliant leaders train their employees to succeed was the next story we were going to cover. And I wanted to go through that with you quickly because we're getting up on the hour here. Most CEOs usually dictate their orders and then provide leadership from sitting behind a big mahogany desk and their comfortable leather chairs. However, Jeff Smith, who was the CEO of a well-known hedge fund, Starboard Value LP, had a different way of providing leadership to his team. In a fabulous article recently published on Bloomberg, Smith describes his approach after his company, Starboard Value, took over the board of Darden Restaurants, Inc. The hedge fund wanted its newly minted directors to have a feel for the business, so it put them to work. How? Getting the boots on the ground. Now, Darden Restaurants Incorporated is an American multi-brand restaurant operator headquartered in Orlando. The firm owns several casual dining restaurants, including Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, Bahama Breeze, and many others. After shareholders became frustrated, they allowed Smith to take complete control of Darden in an attempt to turn the massive food chain around. Smith replaced the entire 12-member board of directors and replaced them with hand-picked candidates, as well as appointing himself as chairman. However, before the new team sat down to discuss their new plan of action, Smith, along with every member of the board, spent time working as waiters in a restaurant. Smith said he waited on tables, greeted customers, and served food in the kitchen. That is brilliant leadership. Instead of sitting down and discussing an approach based on financial analysis, statistics, marketing, cost-cutting, etc., Smith felt they could not make the decisions without knowing what was happening in the restaurant. Leadership is about cutting right to the chase, giving your team a chance to experience hands-on what they are working on so they can get a better feel of how to accomplish their goals. Excellent, excellent point. The customer is your only boss. Now, as Sam Walton famously said, you must work to fill the needs of the customer because if they are not happy, they will go somewhere else. David George, the newly appointed president of Darden, explained, it's all about improving the customer's experience. We need to focus on the guest and make the experience great. And that's a true leader right there. If you're going to succeed, you need to pay less attention to stats, number charts, financial reports, etc., and get someone who truly understands what the customer or the consumer is looking for. Having a leader like that will put you on the right path for success. There are only so many priorities that you can have. Now, everyone knows the key to successful planning is to create a list of top priorities and focus only on those. Once that's accomplished, you can move on along and tackle other goals. However, many times, an aggressive CEO will demand too much from their team and create a list of priorities that cannot be reached, which will lead to a sense of failure and lack of accomplishment. A smart leader will understand what is realistic to accomplish and how much to demand from his or her team. And when Smith was asked for a timetable as to when they would pursue possible spin-offs or purchasing of other restaurant chains, he refused to answer the question. He simply replied, "Our goal is to make the customer experience great. Once that's done, we can move on to the other plans." That is a leader that understands how to achieve success for his team. Being overambitious or moving on to another goal before accomplishing the mission at hand will stunt the overall success. First, understand the mission, know your customers, and set achievable goals are 3 points that will bring real success to you and to your team. All good stuff from the folks over at Darden Restaurants. So, all good. Currently, 12:55. We're up on the end of the show. And before we get into sports, just wanted to talk a little bit about change in the workplace. And one of the things that I have found over the years is that when companies, for whatever reason, have to change their process, there are a couple of different types of employees. There's those that simply do what the boss says. And if you say, we've always done it this way, but now we're going to do it this way, and you're going to revamp processes and things like that, there's those that will just jump right in. I love those people because it doesn't matter what it is. They understand that in 2 weeks they're going to get a paycheck and they're going to earn it. Then there are those who are slightly resistant. They'll tap their toe in the water a little bit, and eventually they'll come on board. And then there's the ones that just fight it every step of the way. Now, the reason I bring this up is I've been working with a company, and we have one employee there who has been with the company for several years, but they just refuse to get on board. I've brought up suggestions, and I said, you need to try it for 21 days because 21 days creates a habit. And I'd be happy if they tried it for 2 days. So then the question becomes, what do we do with this person? You know, if I have 10 people all ready to move forward, but I have one that will not, what are we going to do? And sometimes it's because people can only work up to a certain level of their ability, and they can go no further. They won't push through that glass ceiling and try something new. Other times it's just, you know, sometimes you get the yell back of, it's not in my job description, or I don't get paid enough to do this, things like that. Robert Kreidel wrote a book many years ago called If It Ain't Broke, Break It. And he said that if your competition is, if you're not changing the way you do business, about every 3 years, your competition is going to run right past you. Now, for instance, in my business, we literally have to change the process almost every $100,000 in sales, because when we grow by that much, it affects everything. It affects order entry. It affects ordering of material. It's going to affect receiving that material. It's going to affect work schedule. So everything has to be changed to make the new system work for the dollar level we're at. I'm currently instituting plans for how we should be acting when we reach a million in sales, not when we're acting like we're going to get to the next level of 700,000 in sales. I want to forecast 3 or 4 years out. Get me to where I'm going to need to be then, so that when we're there, we'll be ready for it and we can, you know, move forward. But I'm struggling with this one employee because I just don't understand why they won't just try to make these changes. And as a result, you know, we're having some serious conversations with the owner of that business about what to do with this person, because if everybody else is ready to move forward and this person is not, serious changes are going to have to be made. So going to be interesting to see where we go from here. But at this point, it's just, I'm just curious on your end, whether or not you've come across this in work and whether or not, you know, you, how you would handle that situation so that, you know, people know what's expected. In sports, in NASCAR, six-time champion Jimmy Johnson became a four-time winner this season last weekend at Dover by winning the FedEx 400, Autism Speaks 400. It was Johnson's 10th win at the Monster Mile. The teams will head to the tricky triangle known as Pocono Raceway for this week's Exalted 400. In the NHL playoffs, the Chicago Blackhawks defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning's 2-1 last night, and as a result, Chicago now holds a 1-0 lead in the series for the Stanley Cup. Next game will be on June 6th at 7:15 p.m. In the NBA playoffs, the Cleveland Cavaliers will face the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, with Game 1 taking place tonight. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their respective divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Cardinals, and Dodgers are leading their respective divisions in the National League. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in yours when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship.